Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the conclusion of the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Peter turned and saw the disciple following whom Jesus loved. The one who had also reclined upon his chest during the supper and had asked, "Master, who is the one who will betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus said to him, "What if I want him to remain until I come? What concern is it of yours? You follow me." So the word spread among the brothers that disciple would not die. But Jesus had not told him that he would not die, just, "What if I want him to remain until I come? What concern is it of yours?" It is this disciple who testifies to these things and has written them. And we know that his testimony is true. There are also many other things that Jesus did. But if these were to be described individually, I don't think the whole world would contain the books that would be written. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There are two curious tangents, too curious for me to pass by before we get, I think, to the heart of what God wants us to ponder today. First is about curiosity. And we notice what happened with Peter, not just once, but many times over the course of his life. Just at a time in which the Lord has exalted him, the old Adam in him just sort of lifts the whole situation down and he loses focus, much in the same way we do. So after, moved by the Holy Spirit sent by the Father, he had confessed Jesus to be the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Not just the long-awaited Messiah. That was the hope of Israel. But the Son of God, which really wasn't very clearly alluded to and wasn't awaited, that the Messiah would actually be God. Peter, moved by God's power, confesses it, and Jesus turns around and says, "You're the rock on whom I'm going to build my church." And immediately thereafter, he changed his name again to Satan when he just didn't want to accept the type of Messiah Jesus wanted to be. "God forbid it, Lord. No such thing will ever happen to you." From exaltation downward. Yesterday, as we know, in the scene immediately before this, after Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And they had that dialogue, which I think we've gone through before in the Greek. "Do you love me with a total self-sacrificial type of love? Lord, you know that I love you as a friend." So he asked him a second time, "Do you love me with agape, Peter? Like you said you would, and you'd lay down your life for me during the Last Supper." Peter, devastated that he didn't keep his word before, didn't want with bravado to say that again. So he said, "Lord, you know that I love you as a friend." So Jesus lowered it the third time. "Peter, do you love me as a friend?" And that's why Peter was sad. "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you as a friend." The Lord Jesus was going to let Peter stay there. He said, "Peter, when you were a young man, you went about as you pleased. But when you grow older, you will stretch out your arms," an idiom in Greek signifying crucifixion, "be dragged to a place you don't want to go." In other words, you will love me with agape to the end, even if you don't want to think that you're capable of it. You will. Then he just said, "Follow me." Wow. But then Peter turned and saw the disciple following whom Jesus loved and said, "Master, what about him? What's going to happen to him?" And Jesus didn't want to satisfy Peter's curiosity. He said curiosity was leading to one distraction after another. "What concern is it of yours? What my plans are for him? Your job is to follow me." Keep the eyes on the Lord. We see, Lord, how many times how many will be saved? You agonized to enter through the narrow gate. Jesus is constantly trying to prune that curiosity so that we stay focused. How important is that for us? The Holy Spirit wants to help us to do just that. Second tangent. There are many other things that Jesus did, but if these were to be described individually, I don't think the whole world could contain the books that would be written. We've only got so small a portion of what Jesus actually did here while he was alive. Books were very expensive. Also, people's attention span were only so much. So it's only a portion that the Holy Spirit, again, wanted us to grasp. But it's only a portion. That's why our prayer is so important. Because it's through our prayer that we fill in a lot of the gaps. We don't get all the details of even the stories that are told. It's when we enter into the scene with the eyes of our hearts, where we enter with our ears and hear Jesus' tone of voice, when we enter with our touch and allow him to touch us in response, when we really enter into the scenes, we can learn a lot more. These are like bullion cubes that get put into water and start to expand their taste. But we need to allow that to occur in our prayer. Now let's get to the heart. Today is the last day of the Easter season. But every end in faith is also a beginning. It's a commencement. And we see here today various ends that should lead us to this new beginning, strengthened by this 50-day retreat we call the Easter season, and preparing ourselves for the help to come from on high, so that precisely our ordinary time, our common time, will be really the time of the church led by the Holy Spirit. First end we've already talked about was Peter, that he would be obedient to the Lord all the way to the end because he did love the Lord with a sacrificial love. It was the type of love that Peter rehearsed every time he fed the Lord's sheep, tended the sheep, and fed his little lambs. We prepare for martyrdom by these little martyrdoms of every day in which we sacrifice our ego for the sake of others. I want to ponder, because I think it's one of the most beautiful lines any saint has ever written, especially for you in the consecrated life. It's an important thing for me to say to you a lot until you've memorized these words with your heart. St. Ambrose said in his De Virginitate, his treatise on virginity based on the life of St. Agnes to celebrate her feast day, that it was such a shocker that a girl this young would be able to withstand the threats of rape in a brothel, martyrdom, everything. And St. Ambrose said there, virginity is praiseworthy not because it is found in martyrs. Virginity is praiseworthy because it makes martyrs. That type of preferential love for the Lord, to say no to the great good of marriage and family in this world, that sacrifices like that make us capable of the supreme sacrifices at the end. That's the way the Lord was training Peter to follow him to the end, so that he would be able faithfully to remain united even when before he was chicken. That's the difference the Holy Spirit makes. It's end number one. We're just getting started. End number two, St. John. Even though Jesus was going to answer Peter's question of curiosity, John, in a sense, did give us an indication of how he spent his life. It is this disciple who testifies to these things and has written them. His whole life was one of testimony, and he lived very, very long there in Ephesus. Some people were saying that Jesus predicted that he wouldn't die because it seemed like he never would die. At a time when lifespan was very short, it seems that St. John lived into his 90s. But he was the witness, the faithful witness. And not just the witness by his life, not just the witness by what he would say. St. Jerome passes on, I think, a very reliable tradition that toward, as he grew older, his message got simpler and simpler and simpler. You can see it in his letters. Fioli, little children, not just children, kids. Because when you're looking back from 90, that everybody looked young. Fioli, love one another. And St. Jerome tells the story that one of the people would be carrying him down from the mountain there in Ephesus to the center there where the Christian worship would take place. When he was carrying him back up, importunately said, more or less, "You're a broken record. Why do you constantly say to us the same message every week? It's always the same thing." It wasn't so much criticizing as he was curious about why he goes through the hassle every week to be lifted down just to say the same thing. St. John's response was famous. "I never tire of calling people to this type of love because the Master never tired." It's what Jesus was constantly asking us to do. And St. John witnessed by his words, by his witness, by his writing, that the Christian faith really is simpler than we make it sometimes. It's really loving the Lord with all we've got, and because of that love, loving one another as he has loved us first, with that type of self-sacrificial agape. And the Holy Spirit wants to help us to do it. The third end today is St. Paul. We see what happens when he's brought to Rome. He meets with the Jews as he did in every place. He was constantly beginning as God did with his people. We know most of the Jews in Rome who were Judaized, just like in Galatia, rejected him. But he said, "It is on account of the hope of Israel that I wear these chains." What is the hope of Israel? The hope of Israel is the Messiah. "It's on account of Jesus that I wear these chains." He was willing to spend his entire life physically chained because of that great hope, the hope in whom we're saved, as we'll hear tonight in the Vigil Mass. It says how he gave others hope. It says he remained for 2 years in those lodgings that he had to pay for by his making tents with chains on his hand. He received all who came to him, and with complete assurance and without hindrance, he proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus. We see his hospitality. The way that he was loving was first receiving all who came to him. He wasn't judging them. He knew that the Lord wanted them all. He received all who came. How important it is for us to be similarly hospitable. And then with complete assurance, total faith. I mean, he knew that this stuff was true, and without hindrance, internal or external, he proclaimed the kingdom of God and the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, that they were called to enter. And the kingdom of God was consistent and erupting, even in prison. Holy Spirit wants to help us to have that same type of warm hospitality. He wants to help us with complete assurance and without any interior breaks or fears to announce the Lord Jesus and help people enter into his kingdom. Fourth end today is Oscar Romero's. Oscar Romero was a pretty timid priest, but he was bright. He'd been sent to Rome. They needed an auxiliary bishop in San Salvador. He was made an auxiliary bishop. Really didn't distinguish himself all that much, frankly. But he was made the archbishop. And again, he was a little intimidated when he had seen people mowed down. First, he didn't speak out all that forcefully. He didn't quite know what to do. It wasn't so much out of cowardice as just, he was a little out of his depth to be dealing with those types of problems. But through consistent prayer, he began to realize he needed to be the voice of those who were suffering. So he began to speak up, and he knew the price. There were constant death threats he was getting. He got up and he started to denounce the injustices. And then he started to appeal directly to the soldiers who were carrying out the orders to violate human rights against the poor. He said, "Never, it is an unjust command. You must obey God above all." He challenged, when he started to do that powerfully, it was only a matter of time. On March 23rd, 1980, he did. March 24th, and something that really moves me very much, he participated in an all-day priest day of recollection held by the Priest Society of the Holy Cross in San Salvador, something that I have done all my priesthood during post other priests in. It was there that he prayed. That day was hosted by Father Fernando Sáenz de Calle, who would eventually be his successor. He pondered his priesthood, he pondered his relationship with the Lord, and doubtless he thought about the fact that he might die because of what he was courageously doing. But strengthened by the Lord, he then went to celebrate Mass at the chapel of the Hospital of Our Lady of Providence there in the capital. And during his homily, he preached to everybody about, unless a grain falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it will bear great fruit. He finished the homily. He walked to the altar, and before he could even start the prayer of the faithful, he was assassinated. But he's bearing great, great fruit. And today we pray that the church in El Salvador really come to receive the full love of the Savior. His end, he saw it, his end was to give his life for the Lord. And on a human level, it's a scary thought. And on a supernatural level, the Holy Spirit helps us to be courageous until the end. And the process of Oscar Romero's martyrdom didn't happen with some words spoken. It happened by that choice that he was going to give it all, to preach with assurance and without hindrance that the faith is real. It's got real consequences. And we are to love others as Christ has loved us, rather than follow those who want to subjugate and violate. The last end is ours. What's it going to be?